Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We've got a great guest. But first, let's say a quick thank you to our sponsor. The Real Estate Espresso Podcast is brought to you by International Coffee Farms. International Coffee Farms grows and sells specialty coffee in Boquete, Panama. They now have 11 fully operational coffee farms, and they are 100% sold out. They are accepting reservations for farm number 12. The idea of owning a safe, diversified offshore investment is intriguing to you. Check out International Coffee Farms at internationalcoffeefarms.com. That's internationalcoffeefarms.com. We are back. We have a very special guest with us today. We have none other than Mr. George Ross. George was Mr. Trump's right-hand man and attorney for many years as part of the Trump Organization. Before that, before he even worked for Mr. Trump, he did a lot of work in Manhattan. He worked for Goldman and DiLorenzo, and he did literally hundreds and hundreds of deals in that organization before the Trump Organization. Author of two best-selling books on real estate and negotiation. Taught in the law school at NYU for over 20 years, in business for over 60 years. Married for how long, George?
Oh, 65. 66 now.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's great.
Well, welcome, George.
Hi, good to be here.
So, George, we're living in pretty turbulent, interesting times. You know, the stock market indices are all over the place, and today the market's off 4.5%.
For sure.
You've got major tech companies like NVIDIA down 23% this month, AMD down 28%. I mean, Texas Instruments lost 8% today. And we've got treasury bills. Now the yields have gone up to at least short-term records. The thing that's most concerning is the foreign demand for U.S. treasuries has dropped significantly. If you go back to 2009, over half of U.S. treasuries had foreign buyers. Today, that's down to 41%, which means ultimately, if demand falls for those, yields are going to have to go up again, which means interest rates are going to go up simply because the U.S. is seen as not as good an investment maybe as it once was. I guess the question is, if these yields are going up and there's a risk premium being attached to the U.S., should we be focusing as investors on borrowing more and maximizing our leverage or selling assets and deleveraging? What are your thoughts on this next cycle? How should we prepare ourselves?
Well, I wouldn't sell out at that point. I think you can maximize your leverage at that point. It's always been my philosophy. It's worked out. Borrow as much as you can for as long as you can, as long as you have the right to prepay it.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been my philosophy, and it works out. Because if the market, if rates go up, you've solidified your position. If rates go down, you can refinance and improve your position. I think we're in turbulent times now, but I think, you know, we just have to wait a while. I think it'll resolve itself over a period of time. You know, the effect at this point, as far as market is concerned, the effect of what's going to happen, because with the gross, with the GNP going 5% at this, the effect of that hasn't really figured in. In other words, that hasn't turned out to be dollars for the government, but it will over a period of time. It has to be. That money will funnel back into government. If companies make more money, they're going to pay more taxes. I say they pay more taxes, they'll pay at a low rate, but still, the end result will be more taxes. The end result will be more income, but you don't see it yet.
Right.
So you don't have that effect. Also, there'll be a lot of money coming in from overseas now that they've permitted it to be recaptured in the United States without tremendous penalties. That also will have a driving effect. It's got to be invested somewhere. It's invested somewhere. You've got more businesses, more income, and it just hasn't gotten down to the bottom line.
You're talking about companies like Google and Apple repatriating retained earnings that are currently offshore in Ireland,
absolutely,
places like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are any other company. Absolutely right. And I don't think that the effect on them, if you look at the growth factors of Google and that you have on Apple, and it is unbelievable. I mean, they're out of sight. And the potential is there. It's just, I think we're at a time where the market hasn't caught up with its potential, but has caught up with the actualities. And you're just in a turbulent time because of the difference in the tax structure and also what's going on in the world makes a difference too. And you've also got to take into account at this, a lot of the buyers that were there, that were foreign companies, the foreign countries that were buying the bonds, which came from Japan, from China.
Yes.
So China has a lot of it. Well, China right now, they're slowing down because of what's going on, the tension between the United States and China over the tariffs and over the trade has a lot to do with it. But that too will resolve. It has to, because China needs us more than we need China. It's hard to say that. But they rely upon the goods being bought in the United States. It just hasn't come back there yet because they're still still playing politics with one another. But it'll work out. I am firmly believe it'll work out. But I wouldn't go into panic selling. But you might decide that you want to sell off some stuff and reduce your holdings. But I think over the long run it'll resolve itself. For the short run, it's a roller coaster.
Very interesting. And certainly, the White House has taken a very pragmatic approach with respect to Saudi Arabia. I mean, what's happened over the last 3 weeks has been ideologically a problem. And yet from an economic standpoint, cooling off relations with Saudi Arabia would be disastrous for both countries.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, that's a horrible thing that happened, but they need each other.
Yeah.
They need each other. And this, I think, will come out. It's not going to filter down. As far as they will think, yeah, so there's some bad apples or some people in the Saudi Arabian government or somehow. No, but that's all going to come out, and they're going to be penalized. They'll probably be tried. They'll probably be convicted, and it'll be all that. But this is just a bad circumstance of the credit. It really isn't anything that has to do with the total government.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense.
I still think there's strong control. They've got a lot of money. They got a lot of, and they're a big. A staple as against Iran, which is very important in the world.
This is such a fascinating case study in negotiation. And when I watch what's happening in the news, I'm very mindful of reading various chapters of your book and saying, okay, I see where this is going. You can really almost see the playbook play by play. It's quite fascinating.
It is. Yeah, I agree with it. But I think if we look back or look forward, if you're now following whoever is following, if they're following what the president is doing now, he is moderating his position subtly. Can't do it drastically because he loses base. But if you look at this point, he's coming out more as he should be. Yeah, he came out vehemently against Saudi Arabia, but the people who did it, the act, not the country.
Right.
Which is to me is important. You can't blame a country because of one bad apple few bad apples.
Right. So they named 21 individuals and they're levying sanctions against those 21 individuals. But
yep.
So far, the Crown Prince has managed to save face somewhat.
Yes, and he came out and faced it.
Yeah.
So it's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing. But trust me, in the two, three weeks, this will be a non-issue. It just passed off the wayside as something that happened, and it was carried because it was a horrendous act, and it captured the imagination, the minds of all peace-loving people. But it's one of the things; it'll just disappear. Unfortunate, but that's what'll happen.
We're coming up on the midterm elections. Any predictions from your end?
It's hard for me to predict. I think that it's going to come out better for Trump and for the Republicans than they had anticipated before. I don't think they're going to lose as many seats. And the reason I think that is there are two factors which filter into it. One thing that filters into it is the fact that the president is doing all this barnstorming. I mean, he's all over the place with all kinds of rallies, showing up his base, and people listen to him, whether they like him or not. Seeing him talk in front of all these people, they're hearing him. They may still vote any way that they want. But it is true, if you look at the fact, the Republicans are ones coming out and droving in big numbers for the election, for a midterm election, which they never had before. They're coming out in big numbers. Now, maybe they'll come out and vote Democratic, or they'll vote independent, I don't know. But nevertheless, they're energized. So that's the first element involved. The second element is involved is what has happened with the Democratic Party and how they have acted in the past a year. And I think that's turned off a lot of voters because they weren't very concerned about what the Democrats did with Kavanaugh and what they started putting on they put on they're not going to vote for him vote for anybody no matter who it was, and they've been been against everything, not for anything, and they haven't really come out with a plan. What are they running on? What are they going to do? It's just there's nothing there. So I think that these are intangibles. I don't know how it's going to affect it, and I think it depends on the locality where it's involved. So people in Texas might have one thing that they're concerned with. People in Iowa different. So it's a toss-up as far as I'm concerned, but I think that it's not going to be as bad a loss as it was typically in an off-period election.
Yeah, historically, voter turnout for midterm elections has been much lower, and what I've heard from some of my colleagues in Texas is that some of the numbers for advanced polling in just one day have exceeded the total voter turnout than compared with the last.
Really. And what's scary, I mean, the difference is that the turnout is as big as it is or bigger than for a presidential election.
Yeah.
That's scary. That never happened before. So they're being.
I don't know if it's scary. I think it's a good thing. I think the population's.
It is a good thing.
Yeah.
It is a good thing. The more people vote and the more people get involved, the better it is. There's no question about it. And which party is going to benefit by it, I don't know. But I think it's great to see that you got so many more citizens which are interested in voting for what's going on in the country in a mid-season. I think that's great.
I love that conversation with George. One of the things I love about George is his perspective. It's unlike anyone else that I've ever met. Simply because he knows the man in the White House better than anyone else on the planet. He's worked with him for more years than anybody else, and I just cherish the opportunity to hear from him his point of view. It's not right or wrong, it's just a perspective, and it's different from yours or mine, and so I value it from that point of view. In the meantime, have a spectacular day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.